Welcome everybody in, especially our visitors. We're glad that you're here, and I just want to touch on something that we heard last week that really touched my soul and my understanding. And Brother Mark Rowell was, or Elder Rowell was here preaching to us about the grace of Jesus Christ. And how that is the effect that had on me was something that I've worried about. And frankly, it's a fearful thing when you think about this in the fifth chapter of Galatians, where it says, stand fast, therefore, and that's not what I'm going to be talking about, but I just want to start with this, that stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are that is justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And for me, those words, fallen from grace, have always It fell on me like a ton of bricks. I mean, it's a fearful thing to think that you could fall from the grace of Jesus Christ. But I thought Brother Mark, he rightly divided the word of truth in a way to me last week that showed me how that, you know, that we abide in the faith of Christ. The works of the law is not what gets us fellowship with Christ. And it's grace that does that. And grace alone, and that's not an eternal falling from grace. That's a worshipful falling from grace. You don't have a grace of, if you're not crying grace into the rock. If you're not seeking Christ or His grace, but by the works of the law, then your worship's vain. You've fallen from the grace. So anyway, I don't try to re-preach what he preached either. But that's just what I got out of it, and other things he spoke about, a lot of things. I really enjoyed that. But I want to talk for a little while about, partially about a woman whose name means grace and her son. And that is in the book of 1 Samuel. And this is just in the... in a way of opening for Brother Ward, so I don't want to take a lot of time. And this is a very long story, and I certainly, you know, would encourage everyone to read it and to understand it as well as you can. But it's in the first book of Samuel. It says there was a certain man of. It's not my regular Bible. I think I'm going to skip that one. In Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penuah. And Penuah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, the word Hannah means grace, which I thought was interesting tie-in to this story. And we'll find out in the story, like I said, I'm not going to do extensive reading that it would require to kind of go through this whole thing. But so we have two wives here, a man with two wives. And the Lord, you know, the Lord shows us a better way in the New Testament. And he says that the deacons and elders should be husbands of one wife. Yeah. And this woman, I have known a few young sisters that had trouble in conception. And I'm here to tell you that that's one of the most difficult things for a woman to ever go through, and for a young lady. But this woman, Hannah, had no children. But not only that, her adversary, the other wife, gave her a lot of trouble and grief about it. And so I'm going to kind of paraphrase through some of this, but she goes to the temple. They go up every year to the temple to sacrifice, and she was well-blessed and loved of her husband despite having no children. That has nothing to do with it. He just loved her for who she was, and So she prayed, and Eli was the priest, it says, at that time. And Eli noticed her praying, and she was only her mouth moved, and she no words came out, and he thought she was drunk. And he said, "Put away thy wine from thee." And she said, "Take not thy daughter for a daughter of Belial or Belial." And we're going to find out about what that word means here. It's like it's an important thing to let the Bible define itself. But I think it's also important to notice the way that the story reads. I think it always threw me personally that they go up to this place and the priest is there. Of course, what do you expect? A priest would be there. This was not just any priest. This was the high priest of God for the country of Israel. He was the one once a year that entered into the holy place, not without blood. And he's a very important figure in the Bible. And in Israel right at this moment. And so she prays her prayer, and the Lord hears her prayer and bless her, and God and Eli acknowledges that, you know, her, and says, "Well, the Lord God of Israel give you what you prayed for." And a lot of times, you know, we would go to the physicians about a thing like that, in these times, I don't think there's anything wrong with going to the doctors. I'm glad that the Lord has blessed us with the great medical advances that we have and everything that we have. But I think in this problem, I think seeking first the great physician and asking that he is with the physicians is an important thing. So. Anyway, she has a man-child. She promised the Lord that he would be a Nazarite from his mother's womb, and that he would be lent to the Lord. And Samuel means answered, the answer of God. And so that was the answer. And she took him, and she did it. She took him up to the, and gave him to Eli after he was weaned, and gave him a little coat every year. And he was blessed to the Lord, and he heard the voice of the Lord speak, calling to him, and he thought it was Eli. We're talking about a little child here, and he said, "Here I am, for thou callest me." I'm paraphrasing this, and he said, "I didn't call you. Go lay down again." And this happened three times, and Eli realized it's the Lord talking to him. Now we don't know that this is an audible voice. But certainly in the context, it seems like it was most likely could be either way. But it seemed like it was an audible voice that he heard. And I tried to think, you know, especially with the miraculous birth aspect of this, that many types of Christ had that. Not all, but many did have the sign of miraculous birth. And I started thinking about the ways that Samuel might be a type of Christ. And I couldn't come up with many yet. I've just kind of begun this journey. But I will say that being, you know, we found the Lord in the temple questioning with the doctors of the law. There's like a child, 12 years old, who's able to ask them questions and hearing them. And he was, God spoke to him directly from the time he was a little child. And that is certainly the same. And also the prayer that Hannah prays, I would encourage everyone to read that prayer. And it's similar to not that it has to be similar, but it is similar that she prayed a wonderful and gracious prayer the same way that Mary, the mother of Christ, prayed a wonderful prayer after her acknowledgement that God was with her in that, and that she was acknowledging God. Now, Samuel was a prophet. We know that. God spoke to him directly. He was established to be a prophet over Israel, and he was also a judge. He was a transitional figure from the judges to the kings of Israel, and he anointed Saul, and he anointed David king. And you'll find in the book of Judges that Israel, God was their king. And they went through these periods where they would fall away from God, and then he, as the Bible says in Nehemiah, he sent them saviors. And a lot. So there would be a period of peace and tranquility for maybe sometimes 20 years, sometimes 40, maybe 80. And then they would start serving these idols that they weren't supposed to serve when they came into the land from the very beginning. And then God sent them saviors. And many of these saviors are these judges of Israel, and many of them, you know, were types of Christ. Anyway, I just wanted to, in a way of opening for Brother Ward, share a few thoughts with you. I didn't know whether it was right to do so, but the Lord seemed to be encouraging me to do so. So I asked Brother Ward if he didn't mind sharing a little bit of his time. And so I hope you got something out of that.